It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a great life it is to be living for the Lord. Today we're going to be looking in 1 Peter, a bird's eye view. And of course we've been going through the New Testament, and this is helping us to understand and get some of the high points of the New Testament. We're not going into it in real depth, but possibly this will whet your appetite to get into the book and study further. Now you need to be studying for yourself what God has for you in these books of the New Testament. Well, 1 Peter is study number 21 in our study of the New Testament. And some of the background here is that the one who penned down the words of God was Peter the Apostle. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it talks about this. And in verse 1 and also in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein you stand." And we look at this, and of course, verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ." So Peter was the apostle, and he's the one who penned down the words, the inspired word of God here. Now, once again, as we look at this, we see in verse 1 of this writing, it was to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, and Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And these five Roman provinces are now modern-day Turkey. Well, the date that this was written was around AD 67 and 68. And it was apparently during or just previous to some major persecution that was taking place there. Well, this letter was written to Christians, both Jews, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, those who are scattered, and also to Gentiles. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "Which in time past were not a people." And of course, that's speaking of the Gentiles. "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." See, so we see it was written to the Jews and to the Gentiles and in Asia Minor. And of course, it evidently was written from Babylon. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son." So I believe that Peter was in Babylon when this letter was written. Now we could look at several verses as key verses, but I want to choose just a couple here. And once again, you may find other verses that speak to your heart, and you may see other verses that are key verses to you. When 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." And of course, this is speaking of our Lord. Verse 23 goes on to say, "Who," and that's Jesus, "when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." Well, of course, that's speaking of Jesus being crucified. And the verse goes on to say that we, and that's us Christians, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Well, then we look in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." See, we're not suffering in this country so far that we live in, that I live in. Once again, I live in the United States of America, and we haven't really come under great persecution as I'm speaking. We're not suffering to the extent of giving our lives. Well, some people have in the past in this world given their lives, and some may even be doing that right now. But we have been fortunate in this country to be able to worship our Lord freely without giving our life. There are those people who are suffering in other countries who have given their lives for the worship of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, once again, it says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God." Well, it doesn't mean that God wants you to suffer. It simply means there come times in our lives as Christians that suffering may happen, And that's because we are human and that we do worship the true God as saved people. You see, there are people who hate God. That may be hard to understand, but there are people who hate God, and they more or less take their spite out on us who name the name of Christ. Another couple of verses here that I would see as key verses, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And, what about the purpose of the book? I believe there are several things that we can look at here. The purpose of the book, first of all, is Christ's salvation produces a hope that is alive. It's real. And it also produces joy. And that's hard to describe in words, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Well, let's read a couple of those verses. 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 1, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, once again, this is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Well, actually, this is verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, once again, sometimes I get ahead of myself and I don't give the proper verse. Well, hopefully you've got your Bible open and you'll follow along and you'll see. And once again, let me encourage you to have a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and write down some of these verses that we're going through. And by the way, at the end of the program today, you'll be able to hear the announcer mention that you can look and listen to these programs once again by going to one of our websites, and those addresses will be given to you at the end of the program. Well, of course, in Hebrews chapter 11, we'll continue on now with our study. In Hebrews 11, it says that faith is the substance. Well, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And of course, as we understand that we have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ through his blood, well, that gives us a lively hope. It's alive, according to 1 Peter. It's not something that is dead, but it's an expectation that we know that one day we're going to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When verse 8 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter, it says, Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, it's hard to describe the joy that a Christian has and can have as we understand that Christ has died for us and that he rose from the grave. And by trusting him, we too one day will rise and be with him forever. Well, I see the purpose of the book of 1 Peter is to produce a lively hope in us, to help us to understand who we are. And it also helps us to understand our relationship with God. Well, it tells us there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 through 16, it tells us that we are to be holy. Verse 16 says, Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Verse 15 says, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Or in other words, or behavior that you have in your life is what he's saying here. And because we do name the name of the Lord, and we do say that God is our heavenly Father, once again, we're to live holy lives. He's holy. So therefore, we are to exhibit our lives as being holy. Now, we are to do what's right. As men and women see our lives, we become a walking scripture. I'm speaking about saved people, other people seeing our lives, unsaved people of this world. Now, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We become the living Word of God as we exhibit the life that Christ has given us, the new life, a new heart. And therefore, people see our lives, and that is a good work. Prayerfully and hopefully, people will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus as well. And once again, we need to be witnessing for our Lord. Well, the Bible tells us here also that we are to be reverent. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, it talks about that. Verse 17 says, And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Well, it's not talking about that we have to fear God, that he's going to kill us, or something that drastic. We don't have to fear him in that manner of fear. It's a reverential fear. We reverently fear him as our Father, which is in heaven. And once again, he is in heaven. Well, then we also see that we are to love one another fervently. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." See, it's something you can't fake. It's something that comes through only because of the love of Christ. We are to love fervently. Then we look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, and it says we are to that we are a chosen generation. Then we also see that there's something about our relationship with men or mankind. We are to submit ourselves to every human institution, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Well, it says there in verses 13 through 15, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." You see, we are to pray for our leaders, and we're to ask God to protect them. And I believe we're also to ask God to save those who are unsaved. Submit ourselves unto authority. We need to pray for the leaders and pray that they will do the right thing. And the right thing is listening to God. Pray for their salvation. Well, then it talks about servants being submissive. And it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear." Well, I believe that's speaking also of those people who have jobs, who are working. They have a manager or a boss or owner of a company giving them instruction. We are to be subject to those people. Why? Well, they're paying us to do a certain job, and we need to be subject to them with fear. In other words, reverence. Well, then the Bible tells us in these verses also that wives are to be submissive to their husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and it also says that husbands are to honor their wives as well, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Well, many things can be said and looked at in this scripture in 1 Peter. One thing that we see is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says that we are to cease from sin and live according to the will of God. We're to be good stewards of the grace of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. And don't think it strange if you go through trials, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. And notice also, we are to be examples, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Well, I touched on that briefly a few moments ago, as we exhibit good works in our lives as Christians that other people see, and they prayerfully and hopefully will come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But once again, many things can be said about this book, and I pray that this will stimulate you to give you an understanding that we need to get into the Word of God. You need to be studying the Word and let God lead and guide you. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. May the Lord bless you as you study the Word.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.